In this week, on the 18th of February 1984, the Dons missed a chance to go top of the third division after they were held to a 1-1 draw by lowly Scunthorpe United at Plough Lane. They were nervous. But we've got to learn to live with the pressure, manager Dave Bassett said. We've lost some of our sparkle, and if we want to win promotion, we've got to get back to winning ways in a hurry. They're getting pretty tense before games now as we realise how close we are to success. Dealing with the pressure. It's what we're all about. We're the same old Wombles. We're back.
I've been standing here since many years ago. You've been under my skin for as long as I have known. We traveled away and we stand in the rain and the cold. Take the rough with the smooth. If we win or we lose, we just go.
Hello, hello, dear listener, and welcome to the podcast. Many thanks for tuning in. I'm Matt Cooper, and today I'm joined by Mon Frere, the CEO of Fair Game, Niall Cooper. Hello, Niall, how are you doing?
Hello, Matty. I hope I am doing quite well. I'm in an unusual location, but very familiar to you today.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
He's in a shed, dear.
He's in an underground bunker somewhere. He knows things we don't. And welcome to the man with the buttons, Dr. Professor Adam Proctor. How are you, Adam? You okay?
Hey, I'm good. I'm good. You know why I'm good?
Yeah, I know. We're going to come on to your loving in a minute. And the stat man himself, our footballing guru, Mr. Tall Mark Lewis. How are you doing, Mark?
Good evening. I'm very well. Apart from having an incessant ongoing cough, which I will try to keep away from this week's pod. But I'll be taking my cough down to South Wales tomorrow to hopefully get rid of it.
Yeah, mate, I'll tell you what, everyone's got something at the moment. There's a bug going around. But listener, you can't catch it from listening to us. So if you are feeling ill, sit back, turn the volume up and enjoy our weekly rant. Anyhow...
Your this weekly week, rant.
Yeah, I know. I feel I'd like to bring you with me. So first of all, chaps, a point on the road at Barnsley. I mean, it was a weird one, wasn't it? Because, you know, we go two down. You think that's game gone. And then all of a sudden it's like two all within the matter of 3 minutes. Next we take the lead and then we lose. And again, we'll have to talk about this, but I think there's a table going around somewhere, which is we'd be well
Matt,
in the playoffs
just
if there was
you.
A less 15 minutes. God, if 15 minutes, if it we didn't.
Matt, I'm just going to correct you for a second, right? We didn't actually lose. Might have felt like we lost. We didn't actually lose.
No, you're right. True, but I mean, but I feel that the table going around says that if games had stopped with 15 minutes to go, we'd be well in the playoffs.
Do you want to start now?
Yeah, come on, mate. Come on, chuck it in.
No, don't worry. Keep on talking and I'll find it.
Yeah. Okay, so, but it was amazing. You know, like, it was a pretty cool game. And I think afterwards, JJ was coming out saying, you know, it's a real advert for League One football. You know, and at the end, they could have won it. Brilliant defensive, bit of defending by
Not brilliant
Johnson.
Defending, though. Yeah, I found it now.
Yeah.
If the sky, this is how the Sky Bet League One table would look if you took out the last 15 minutes of games.
Yeah.
With thanks to Ed Hewson, who puts a lot of the stuff on there. So Lincoln City, who are top anyway, 69 points. Cardiff, Lincoln are second, Cardiff are top. So yeah. Cardiff would be second in this, 61 points. Huddersfield would be third, 52. Stockport would be fourth on 50. And we would be fifth. With 13 wins, 9 draws and 8 defeats, 30 goals scored, 28 conceded, on 48 points. Above Bradford and Wickham and Lincoln and Bolton and a bunch of other teams who are much higher than us on the table.
I mean, I think, you know, it's a nice hypothetical thing to have. But the truth is, games last 90 minutes. And I think, well, they don't. They last 99
well,
minutes.
The trick to add on is that we have also conceded 13 goals in the last 15 minutes of games, which is two more than anyone else in League One.
Yeah, that there's something that happens. We just switch off or run out of whatever it is, steam at the end. But I still think 7 points for 3 games is pretty good stuff. Actually, none of us were there, but I feel that in spirit, Adam, out of all of us, you were the closest one to being there.
I know. I got excited, obviously.
Yeah. Your loving with Omar Bugal is what I can describe as, bordering on
Stalking.
slightly weird. Yeah.
Hey, look, I've only had one photo taken with him, and that was like when he started. So,
Yeah.
I'm not stalking him. I just think he's great.
Yeah, I know, Adam, you've only had one photo with him. It's all the other photos you've had that you've taken of him, I think, is that where we're worried.
True. The best was like, well, obviously, then I was hoping for a hat trick and was like, oh, we only win games via hat tricks. So that was quite, but we didn't get there. But the best was the, obviously, they had a really great interview on the website with Omar. Everyone should check it out, obviously. But I like the fact for the second goal, he said, I think it just hit me on the head.
Well,
It's
have you
like,
seen it? It did.
I know, it's so
Like,
good.
Tilly's weaving his magic on the right. He slings the ball in, and he's obviously slinging it into the penalty spot or the far post. And Omar's just made a run towards the near post and hasn't even seen the ball. The ball smacked him and put it gone in the far corner. It's
I
the
know,
best way
how
of
good.
scoring. No one had a clue what was going on.
I think the my thought was that it was actually Tilly actually missed shot because it was hit with some pace. I think Tilly was actually trying to hit it, trying to curl it into the with his left foot into the far corner, but he's missed shot it. But it's hit Omar and got in. Well, he's just got in the space. It's been fantastic, and it feels like something's happened. We've finally found a strike partnership which is working, which is Bugle and Brown. But and here's a question, because I'm really worried that we're going to start getting into a what's it called Brodie Hughes situation with this new striker that's come in, because we haven't seen hide nor hair of him. He's not been on the bench. He's not been in the not in the squad at all. Do we know anything more about
No.
what's
Who's this
happened there?
one? Leighton
Who is it?
Hewitt? The Australian tennis
Yeah,
player.
that's right. Yeah.
Leighton Stewart. Well,
Yeah. Oh,
first of all,
yeah.
we've only had him for like 2.5 weeks, not a month, which I heard someone else say.
Yeah.
And I guess the reality is, what kind of match fitness did he come to us in? And
Yes.
because obviously nowadays no one has reserve teams, what other opportunities are there for anyone to play? We're playing Saturday, Tuesday, so it's not like we can play a midweek game. As we do now and again against a local team to be able to give people like him and Hutchinson and McDonnell and so on opportunities. So he's have to come in completely cold. But the reality is, like you said, we've got Omar and we've got Marcus Brown, and then we've got Hackford and we've got Stevens,
Yep.
and then we've got Foyo. So even if he came in, and I can appreciate why he was brought in because he was brought in before this current vein of scoring happened. Actually, where's he going to get in ahead of those five?
Yeah.
Realistically,
Yeah. At the moment, I
he's got
mean,
better pedigree than all of them, but not at senior level. And right now, the right strikers are playing, and the right strikers are in reserve.
yeah, exactly. I mean, and the truth is, if you fear for anyone at the moment, you would fear for Stevens. I mean, I'm guessing that would be the thing. I can't imagine that we go to Cardiff. We're recording on the Monday. I can't imagine we go to Cardiff and have three strikers on the bench. Stewart, Hatford, and Stevens. I just can't imagine that we would do that.
Well, the other issue you've got is that just in terms of 19, 20 fit players, if unfortunately Lewis is out, and obviously, as we said, Brodie Hughes has got this long-term injury, not that he was ever part of the first team squad anyway, so it seemed, you're almost going to end up with the fit players being the ones on the bench. And we're dancing on a sort of pinhead at the moment with Bauer being the only defensive option we've got. We all saw how good Cardiff were when we played them in August, and having seen them in highlights since then, they're still not just as good. I don't really want, the twinkle toes of both the Cornwall brothers having someone like Sam Hutchinson trying to chase after them in midfield, because that would be a red card waiting to happen, frankly, unfortunately. See how quick you can get two yellows. But yeah, you're right. Three strikers, and it's not like Stevens can play wide right, or Foyo possibly could play wide. At a push, maybe Antoine Hackford could play wide.
Yeah.
but not as a wing back. You know, she just played out and out wingers.
Well, I mean,
but I
I
think
think
out and out wingers against Cardiff would be signing your own death warrant, wouldn't it?
I mean, you know, I mean, I confess, I've only seen them play once this season, and that was against us, and I think we only lost narrowly in the end, didn't we? So
The way you phrased that, Matt, there was a kind of implication that you've only seen us play once, and that was the implication that you're saying that Mark Lewis, because he mentions Cardiff all the time, has seen him play several times. That was what you were saying, wasn't it?
I think we know the truth behind
I
this.
just watched the League One highlights the same as everyone else.
I don't watch
Yeah,
those.
I don't.
Well, it's up to you. I only watched them when we saw goals, but I mean, you know.
Yeah. I did watch the extended highlights of the game against Barnsley, though. Just I wanted to see, because there was a chance, wasn't there, for Barnsley right towards the end of the game, which Johnson got his head on blocked.
I mean, think back to the Barnsley home game. McGoldrick was excellent, and Bishop made an amazing save against him. And then obviously we came
Oh,
through and won 2-1.
yeah.
And at that time, I thought Barnsley were a decent team, and they've obviously tailed off big time since then. They'll probably be all right. They'll probably be mid table mediocrity. But equally, 4 points from Barnsley,
Yep.
6 points from Reading. You know, these are not points hauls
Yeah.
we expected to necessarily get. And yes, it's frustrating we didn't get the points we wanted to and needed to at the time against the bottom three at the time. But, you know, there's plenty of mid-table teams who will be going nowhere, who will be on the beach, relatively speaking. And all we need to do is make sure we get 4 or 5 wins from the what, remaining 18, 19 games, and we should be fine.
Yeah,
We've
we
got a
just got
game in
we just
hand of quite a few clubs, haven't we?
Yeah, that game in hand is Stockport. We've got
Yeah,
to play
okay.
Stockport twice in about 3 weeks. And if we get one, let alone three points out of those six, I'd be pleasantly surprised. Because Stockport will be gunning for it alongside your Boltons and your Lincolns and your Cardiffs.
It's gonna be an interesting, but it would be lovely to spend the last two or three games of the season knowing you're pretty much safe and just, enjoying
That would
those
be
games of
nice.
football would be quite nice, wouldn't it? But anyhow, we'll see how we go. But good result, like you say, 4 points from 4 points from Barnsley, 6 points from Reading. That's perfect. And it's just amazing how we've stumbled across this formation, and it's
Yeah.
working. I mean, I think it's how long you can keep playing it, because I think they're going to be exhausted. So you're going to have to switch it around a little bit, I'd have thought. But I'm sure that with starting two up front against Cardiff and probably on Saturday as well, which is going to be a tough game
Well,
in
yeah,
itself.
we have to play this for as long as we can so that we can eke out the points now, you know. So I think it's just gonna people are going to have to get tired before we change it, you know. But hopefully that's, you know, a little while
But
down.
yeah, and also if you remember the Cardiff home game, we talked about the different formations up front we've played in recent times. Cardiff home, we played Stevens and Niall's favourite, now poorly centre forward up front.
Oh,
So
yeah.
in comparison, actually, you know, we've got that much more of a potent threat.
Yeah. Wow, did he play in that too? Jeez. I mean, I'm not one, but I've been looking at Crawley in the league table. I don't know if anyone else has had a.
Gloating is the word you're looking for, Matt.
Well, I'm trying not to, but they are flirting dangerously with the conference at the moment.
Oh.
They really are. I don't think they're that far off the bottom two. It Newport, Harrogate, and then I think it's them. Anyhow, chaps, let us move on, because like us, we like to talk a little bit of fan ownership. We like to talk a little bit of where we are. Just reflecting back, obviously, I like to call it rumor gate, because why not? If there's some sort of scandally thing, you've got to put a gate on it. So all these rumors that were coming around recently, it now appears to me, looking at social media, it's the most reliable way to get your information. I understand that.
Obviously.
It feels like everyone had heard all these rumors, apart from us. They were floating around all over the place, apparently, not online, but people have been until it all came out. But I was
We always said we're never in the know, so this just proves we're never in the know.
we're never in the know. I never. It's just because it's obviously because we're the same old Wombles. So no one thinks it's worthwhile attending. So we never know any of this sort of stuff. I'm interested to know that, whenever I'd like to think, surely if people start saying, because we do like to indulge a little bit of gossip, a little bit of rumors in the when it comes up to players, who we might get, who we won't get. But I think we do say things like, oh, I saw on such and such site or whatever it is that so and so might be joining us or whatever it is. But the fact that these rumors didn't come with any, there was nothing substantiated. It wasn't like I'd heard from this particular source that is happening. So I'm interested that no one said, where did you hear that? It's kind of weird. And I just think, is it right to spread this sort of stuff? Especially when the rumors of things like the club is going under, we're getting rid of all of our players at the end of the season, all the senior staff are looking to leave. I just is that all right to sort of like start spreading that sort of stuff around, particularly when we might be looking for investors?
I'm not sure it helps, but I think it's almost the kind of ready-made carrot theory, by which I mean, why do people go to M&S or Waitrose rather than going to Lidl or Sainsbury's? They'll go to M&S or Waitrose because if they can afford it, they can buy pre-made, pre-cut chips or carrots or whatever the vegetable of your choice is. In other words, they have to have something and have to have it now, instant gratification. I was in a
All
very interesting scenario on Saturday afternoon where I saw that we were 2-0 down because I was travelling to meet some friends in Richmond to watch some egg chasing on TV. And then in the pub, I couldn't get any Wi-Fi whatsoever, couldn't get any connection whatsoever. So I didn't know that what had happened after 2-2. So I saw us 0-2 and then 2-2. And then literally with about a minute left, I got the score at 3-3. And I thought, oh my God, I haven't been able to check football for like an hour. What on earth's going on? And then the same thing happened on Sunday when my wife wanted to watch the Wales game. So I didn't even check the Wales game, even though we knew what the score would be because they're hopeless. And I'm thinking it's instant gratification again. We're so used to having everything at our fingertips with social media and with mobile phones, whatever devices we can have available, whether we're on a ride at Thorpe Park or on a train somewhere in London or anything. That we want everything and we want everything now. And if there isn't anything now, like we'd hadn't signed anyone in the last few days of the transfer window, somebody fills the void. And then they blame the club for the fact they've created this void because they haven't signed five players, which is just beyond ludicrous, in my opinion.
I get you. And also, I mean, I think we're aware we're living in a post-truth society. But maybe it's times, like we need to have that BBC fact checker. So to just go and look at the facts rather than spreading stuff around, because I just think it is slightly divisive. And maybe, I guess for some people it's fun, having these sort of things that are floating around. It can be a bit of fun. But certainly that one that was against our academy, I just thought that was a bit offish.
So I guess my question though is, so The Athletic is obviously is a published output. So we can probably discuss the rumor that Robbie Earl is leading a bid for a minority shareholding, because that's some journalists have done some work there.
Well, yeah, I mean, like
On that,
we could quote our source.
it's very useful on that, because I know Matt Slater from The Athletic.
Hey, look at
So it's
this.
quite.
This we are like privileged.
So what you're saying that actually here's a decent, worthwhile source, and this isn't complete bunkum.
Yeah, I'm completely saying that. Because
That's
he's the
it.
sort of person, and Matt Slater, just for the benefit of you, is doing a panel at the Fair Game Conference because he's a big advocate of fan ownership and actually thinks it's a really good thing and absolutely loves it. And as a Southend fan, he's really seen the problems and diversity of issues of that. So he's always been interested in talking to people he believes are good for the game. So that is Matt Slater from The Athletic, proper journalist who happens to be on my speed dial.
Can
So
we
kind of
invest
there
in
you
a
are.
klaxon?
Shall I ask him to come on?
Why not? Great idea.
Well,
Great
I mean,
idea. I'll ask Matt to come
I
on.
think, I think the, I, but I think, that it is interesting. It's interesting that for whatever reason, a consortium would announce that they're putting in a bid. I mean, and yet again, I think it, because it came through from different sources, didn't it? It was on different platforms, different outlets. One was the Sun, I think, and I think that they put that he's looking to bid for the whole club. So,
There's not a lot in the news article that we don't really know already, apart from the fact we didn't know that it was Robbie who was Earl who was fronting this bid. And fronting the bid just basically means by attaching his name to something, it appears, he's able to obviously get the publicity that we've all got already.
And it seems like it's quite an international grouping, isn't it? There was Americans and Italians involved in in this particular consortium. So I'm interested to know.
Yeah, I mean, with Robbie though, I mean, Robbie Earl has a massive TV profile in the States because he basically fronts the major of the Premier League coverage, right? So he's very well known. So if you're talking about talking to American investors, then Robbie Earl is certainly the person. I'm going to just fess up though that as somebody who, when we heard it, I was completely wrong in my assumption about who the person was going to be the person fronting it up. And then maybe there's two Wimbledon players fronting up two different consortiums. I don't know. But he was not the name that I was thinking because I was thinking of somebody else who I knew was more financially connected directly than Robbie Earle.
Who might have
But
happened to have
obviously,
been a
he's quite
previous guest
interesting.
on our podcast?
Potentially, yes.
Possibly. But I mean, but that is, but that there, dear listener, is how rumors start.
Absolutely.
So that
Nothing substantiated there at all.
there's nothing substantiated there. But whereas Robbie Earle, that
But my
seems to be
question
out of the
is
public domain.
why has that come out now?
Why? Of course, I think it's because the 50.1 thing.
Well, so what? Therefore, the Don's Trust have leaked it, or someone else has leaked it, and with the Don's Trust full knowledge of it, because they've already said it's going to be later in March when the opportunities for discussion and voting come out. Meaning, therefore, that we, the supporters, the members, can't actually do anything about this anyway. And let's face it, social media wise, inside 6 hours it will be chip paper, as they say, whatever the social media equivalent of chip
Well,
paper is.
but I mean, I guess in a
Online
weird
delivery from
way,
Pizza GoGo.
in a weird way, what it does do is creates a little bit of buzz that there are people that are interested. And if you get a name like that, and bearing in mind that at the Meet the Board, they talked about eight possible investors. So it, in theory, then other people are going, oh, that's interesting. We'll have to sort that up our game. And maybe they start going around and finding other ex Wimbledon players who, want to get involved. Or maybe what by Robbie Earle coming out there, they're going, well, that's an interesting thing. That's something I'd like to get behind. And maybe he starts driving more people towards his thing. And some of the other eights go, well, okay, I'm not going to compete with that. But I tell you what, now I know who it is. I'll talk to them and see if we can put something else together. So it does it. I guess it creates something. I don't think people are going to back out because of it. They're going to start looking at what they can do to compete with it. So hopefully that in a weird way, it's a good thing. But it's always
Yeah,
interesting to
I
know what's
my
the
personal
reasoning
view,
behind it. Why
my
would you
personal view on the
do that?
timing, right, is that it is, I'm totally looking at it from a PR perspective, and there are two people, two kind of different, both sides benefit from it coming out because obviously the board are interested in trying to move towards 50 plus one, but equally, if Robbie Earle's consortium wanted to succeed, they also want an excitement that means people are likely to vote for a 50 plus one. So it suits both sides. So I 100% think it's been leaked by someone, right? Because it's not supposed to be public, but the PR benefit is both. So, I love the Don's Trust board, right? And I love the people on it. And I think they're doing a great job. And I think they probably won't have leaked it, but it wouldn't have done them any harm. But I think from a Robbie Earle's perspective, it actually benefits them to make sure that that 50 plus one has a chance of actually happening. That's
Yeah,
how I see it. It's definitely, it's done totally for PR purposes.
so now and I think especially towards the listener who grumbled a couple of weeks ago, you know that the three of us were going to vote for 50 plus one.
Yep.
And on a scale of 1 to 10 right now, and with bearing in mind this news, right, with 10 being incredibly likely and one being not likely at all, how close are you to voting for a 50 plus one?
No, zero.
Really? Still on the zero?
Yeah, that's
But
because
Robbio
actually
didn't even move it one notch. No, man.
I've probably been one or two, but I had a conversation with a really old friend of mine who was involved with Supporters Direct back in the day, and we had a really good conversation about his view and his stuff, and he kind of just reinforced me about why I'm not a 50 plus one person. But as I said, and I know the DTB take this quite happily, that I won't necessarily be shedding tears if I lose that, if I lose it.
But what's your, I mean, I think, because no, to be honest with you, I think, and I think this is where, because I know that there was a podcast the other day,
My reason
there
for
was a
it.
podcast, there was a podcast the other day, and they were saying that it only takes a few people, because we've got to get over, what, 70%, something like that, to vote for it. So it certainly needs 30% of people, 30% of the voting people to vote against it for it not to go through. So it doesn't take that many people. And I know that you might not go for it. If you're going to actively vote against it, and other people are going to actively vote against it, it might not get through, and that might put us financially in a difficult position.
Look,
Which would
I
put.
fully think that I'm talking to three people who would have definitely been 2, 3 years ago in the 75 camp, right? And we would have been the podcast that would have been most in that category. I fully expect myself to be in quite a very significant minority of, I think that the people saying the naysayers are going to be about 10%, right? That's where I think it will be at.
Do you
And I'm
think we could
fine to be
start
in
a
that 10%.
campaign? If Niall's voting against, then therefore that many more people would vote for.
Well, I don't know. I don't know. I mean, look,
So, yeah.
my view is that I get why people would. I just personally remain skeptical about how things are run. And I've just been talking to a few people about other clubs that have a minority shareholder that basically runs the club. And that's a little bit where I'm just a
We've
little
got that,
nervous.
but we've got that 15% rule in, haven't we? And this month they
Yeah,
changed some things.
but that's going to go, isn't it? That's part of it.
The 50%
Adam.
one's the one that's been voted to get rid of. So,
Yeah, so that would
you'd
go.
expect that if Robbie Earls Consortium came in, you would expect them to be taking 30, 35% of the club.
Well, they wouldn't. They wouldn't. They wouldn't be able to. I think the most you can get is 23.6 or something like that. That's the most that can get that can be sold. So the most they can have is 20, just under 25%.
Unless they
So
buy other
what?
people's shares.
Yeah, but I think
Nick
that would be,
Robertson.
yeah, I guess, but and or maybe he's part of a consortium. He's part of another one. Who knows?
No, just
But just what?
that's
So
my
what's your?
slight.
But what's your? What's your? What's your? What is your? What's your fear? Because I think at some point we're gonna have to probably all realize that not everyone is evil. What is your concern?
Somebody's eventually evil.
Yeah, but I don't think Robbie Earl, if Robbie Earl is involved in this, I can't see him and other
Yeah,
people
true,
selling
but who does
onto
Robbie
an.
Earl sell to?
No, but
What
he, I
happens
don't,
after
but
that?
he, if he's buying in from a minority shareholding because he believes in Wimbledon and gets behind the fan ownership stuff, again, I think those people will be sensible with where for who they're selling
Yeah,
to.
Adam. I know, Adam. I
All I'm
agree. I think
talking
this is
about.
what I'm saying with Niall. I agree that the fact is, it's not about Robbie Earl and that group. That's not a problem. It's about who they might sell their block of shares onto next. That
And
is the thing,
once it's
because
gone, it's gone.
we haven't
That's
got.
all I'm at. That's my only thing. And look, I totally get why all three of you are in the 50 plus one camp. I get the fact that most Wimbledon fans are going to be in the 50 plus one one group. Absolutely fine. All I am is I'm just that one person who says that if it all goes Pete Tong in 20, 30 years' time, I wasn't the person that voted for 50 plus one. That's all
But
I'm
no,
at.
can I? Yeah, and I think you'd like that in a way. Can I just
No,
say
I
though
wouldn't like that. I
that?
wouldn't
Can I
like that.
just? Can I
I
just say
wouldn't
this
like
one
that.
thing?
Throughout all of this, I will be in the background doing all I can, working with the regulator, the football's financial authorities, all the rest of it, to make sure that it is beneficial to be a fan-owned club and to be controlled by the fans. Whatever happens, that's what I will do, and I will continue to do that. So if the 50 plus one comes in, then irrespective, I will be, as I have been, as some of the DTB board will fully know, campaigning heavily to make sure that the financial system within football benefits and encourages fan ownership. Right, that's I will continue to do that. I will work my
I
socks off
get,
to do that.
And I get that. And I just think there's one thing that would be remiss of me not to ask is if we don't accept the 50+1, you know, we've all seen the graphs and we've all seen the situation. If we don't accept it, it looks like we're going to be, you know, we could almost be heading towards administration. You know, managing our debt is going to be a real, real problem. And certainly how we can, what our playing budget would be like.
The thing I go on that is that we actually now have a football regulator in place. And if we go to them and say, you realise that because of the system that you are managing and overseeing, that you are killing the opportunity for fan-owned clubs. That's what you're doing. And I can tell you that if we make that sufficient noise, because that's kind of some of the conversation I'm having, that the regulator is going to be absolutely shit scared because they're going to be their first epic fail. If it even gets close. And I think that threat is something that the regulator needs to hear from us and from Exeter City to say, right, you know, you're currently on a course to kill fan ownership.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's on your head, be it.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's quite interesting. I was talking to someone the other day about, you know, why people are putting in, you know, losing 6 million quid a year. And obviously it gets saddled onto, you know, club debt. But the reason, I mean, I think it's just that people now so wealthy. There's so many incredibly rich people. They just want it to be like a plaything, like a real life version of FIFA. Do you know what I mean? So they're prepared to put 6 million quid in every year, or however much every year, to play real life FIFA. You know, and that's the situation. So these people don't care about the fans. So now, just one thing, coming back to you, because, you know, there have been fan-owned clubs before who have gone and they've sold out. And I'm interested to know what's happened to them. So what were we talking about? There was,
Portsmouth, Wickham.
Charlton?
Portsmouth, Wickham, Newton, Charlton, everywhere. Portsmouth, Wickham and Newport.
Yeah. So, okay.
Right, so Portsmouth were approached by, Portsmouth and Wickham were both approached by a big, actually all three were approached by somebody else who was a big owner coming in and offered them loads of extra cash to kind of take them over. And that's kind of what happened. And you will find some grumbling at Wickham now about that because of their owner and the fact that they are connected now with Reading in some weird way. It's not, I don't know. I can't remember the whole details of it. It's not like a joyous thing.
The guy that owns Reading now used to own Wickham, and he sold Wickham to some Eastern European business person.
Yeah, so they're not, Wickham fans aren't like full of joyous and happiness, and Reading fans definitely are not happy about that guy now being in charge of their own club. Now, if you look at Newport County and you look at where Newport County are on the table, it's not like that is a club that has done stormingly well on the back of selling out to an owner.
They bottom of League Two.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right. So that is your comparable. Right. That is a club that restarted again, went up through the leagues, got back into the Football League, and then had fan ownership and sold out. And now they're bottom of League Two. Well done. That new financial, wonderful, brilliant new owners that you have of a previous fan owned club. They are an example of exactly how it can go very peak time.
Yeah. And Portsmouth are doing okay. I mean, but still, they're near the bottom of the Championship, aren't they?
Then Pompey were like in the Premier League, right? And doing brilliant with their fantastic owners. Just so happened one of them was a gun runner and one of them was like a smuggler and all the rest of it. And they had a whole load of really dodgy owners who were, you know, really shit. And then the only reason they got saved is because, lo and behold, the fans stepped in with the emergency rescue buckets to save them from being completely fucked. Because they had some really wonderful owners who were like not trusted, who completely blew the club up, literally. You know, and that's the situation. So Pompey is not a great example. Newport is not a great example. And Wickham fans don't particularly like their owners.
Also, I think there was someone, there was another podcast was talking about the fact that we had Adrian Goldberg on last week, and who was great. I think that's fantastic. And he was saying that, you know, we are a shining light, an example being fan-owned. But people were saying that, well, you would say that, but you wouldn't want your club to be fan owned. Well, I think the big problem now is
We
that
could, we could. I'll tell you what we could.
if people are selling out to, if people are looking to sell their clubs, how could a fans group afford that at the rate it's on? And if it goes into administration, how can fans do that as well? Because you've got to pick up the costs. So I think a lot of ways for fan ownership works is our model, which has been, kind of, which is not, I wouldn't advise, the club has to literally start again or goes into liquidation. You have to go again. So, I mean, how can fans compete if it goes into administration against, someone with more money?
That's exactly where the regulator system needs to look at how it can do that, because the in the debates in the House of Commons throughout the whole system, so much of it was on, right, the fans need to be put in place as the preferred bidder for any takeover of a club when they go into administration, because the theory was is that the biggest security for a local community and for the history and traditions of a club is to put the fans in charge. Right, that's the biggest security. What the regulator now needs to do is look at the fine details and the kind of small print and make sure that's actually right and achievable. And remember, you have this 3.2 billion distribution deal that can look at rewarding what are well-run clubs. And let's go back to it, that actually on financial sustainability fronts, where you are looking at is Exeter and Wimbledon do stormingly well because we don't spend beyond our means, unlike everybody else, because we can't. And we shouldn't. And that is the model that should be rewarded, because otherwise you're just basically saying, right, the other model of football, which is the other 90 clubs in the top four divisions, is to basically blow all your money, throw it down the drain, and hope that it all goes well. And as you can tell, the fact that we are not bottom of League One tells you there's a whole bunch of clubs that have done that process and haven't actually done very well in it.
And I was going to say, I remember. I was going to say, I remember back in the day, weren't we at some point, weren't we accused of not buying Wimbledon FC? It's like, how the heck would you do that if it's not,
Oh,
if
we
it.
did try and buy Wimbledon FC, because I remember being in the room. I remember Sean Fox putting that pound coin
Well, yeah,
firmly
of
on the
course.
table in front of Copple and saying, right, you said nobody'd buy it for a quid. And honestly, the only reason Sean Fox got that quid on the table is because everybody else was a bit slow getting that pound out of their pocket. We were all around that table.
I think that no, that was it. I think there was that accusation, isn't there, a couple of years afterwards when they went into
Yes.
administration
Correct. Oh,
that we
right.
didn't
That
go
was
for that.
totally down to why would we do something like that when we had our own club that was actually properly set up in the right way? That's the reality. And that club was, that was, and there were lots of dodgy thoughts going on around that at the time. You like the fact that equally we were offered another club that was said, right, you take this club and then you can like actually take them and move them back to Wimbledon and have a your league place back if you buy out this club. With that was offered to us. It was Halifax, wasn't it? And it's like, that sort of thing, we're better than that. That's the right, we're better than that.
I mean, that's the thing. I mean, the point is, I think there's a lot of times that, it was again, people were saying last week that they don't want to catastrophize anything and then go on to catastrophize that, so if we don't sell out, our club will go into administration and we'll fall through the leagues. And I guess the truth is that hopefully we don't know, and we know that the DTB are doing all that they can to get those investors in. What we do know is that there have been fan-owned clubs who've gone back into having a single ownership model, and they haven't they aren't exactly storming through the leagues and not particularly secure. And there are other clubs in the league who are below us, who are spending more money each season.
I mean,
So,
exactly.
and
Mark will always talk about how much Port Vale has spent and where are they in the league?
yeah,
You
and
know,
I
I mean,
think
that's, you know.
so I think the one th the thing to say is that our, yeah, we just I think one thing that is correct is that we need to celebrate our being fan owned. I think that's a really important thing, and I think that that isn't enough, and we do, and I agree. One of the podcasts was saying that, there needs to be more signage around the club saying that we are fan owned, and there should be on those on the boards inside the house that we're a fan owned club, and if you want to get involved, join the Don's Trust board. And there should be something as you go into the ground saying that we're fan owned. So we should make more of that. There should be much more signage around that going, we're fan owned club.
Well, we had those three straight.
Yeah, I think that whole idea of this is your club. You know, this is your club. That's the sort of stuff, right? You know, we are unique. This club is owned by the fans.
Yeah.
That sort of stuff. You know, we are different. That sort of stuff. I'm fully pro a massive marketing push on it.
Yeah.
Always have been, always will be. I just think that's the differential. You know, that's the kind of story that sells it. You know, that's where I'm at. You know, you want that kind of.
Yeah,
I was gonna say that was the thing that some people got. Well, I was upset about as well because in my home office at home, I have like the Wimbledon badge and those three lines that we used to have on the website, which is we are fans, we are owners, we are Wimbledon, and I thought that was great. But then when we got the website changed, that disappeared, and there was a bit of noise. So where's that gone? So we want to make sure, yeah, like that we take advantage of all this. Yeah, which it sounds to me like the documentary might.
Yeah.
You know.
I don't know. Can you hear me? Can you not hear me?
Yeah, mate.
You can hear me now. Okay.
Loud and clear.
Sorry. I was actually going to say, the reality is having made, and this was a decision that was made by the club, and I think my understanding is it was made by the club rather than by the GT themselves. But having made all the season ticket holders members, the reality is now there are a number of people who are not necessarily aware, are not necessarily tuned in or bothered. We don't even know if they are bothered one way or the other about being members. But now they need to be because this is about the future of their club, about the viability of their club, about the financial opportunities for their club and for their, not just their future, but their potential children's club and so on.
No,
and so
I
forth.
Agree. That's the thing. That's the thing I wanted to is that because we have to have a certain level of turnout for these types of votes, and it was really close last time. But at that point, did we have all of these additional owners?
Yeah,
on...
I think.
Yes, we did. It was the first time that we had it. But what I don't think we actually properly did is did we really properly have an appropriate public relations campaign, so to speak, bearing in mind the Don Trust Board is a voluntary group that we know of, who doesn't necessarily have the either the wherewithal financially or the understanding.
The club need to redirect some, but that's what I think the club, if the club are behind this, the PLC board as well, then in theory, they should be redirecting their efforts to ensure that there is some sort of backing and not just leaving it to the DTB and supporting them.
I mean, you look at where I'm at with this is that, and obviously I'm not, I'm basically totally explaining how they need to win a vote that I wouldn't necessarily vote for, right? But anyway, it's when
not
you look
about,
back
it's not about convincing you though.
No, but like, I mean, like it's when you look back to what happened with the Plough Lane bond first time round, that was a very good, well-run PR campaign.
Yeah.
You know, that worked
back in two
really
ticks.
Well with.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, like, you know, ironically, I was involved heavily in that, along with Charlie Talbot and some others. But that was a slick, well-planned, properly marketed campaign with looking at how we did it. And it worked brilliantly. You know, I mean, it far, far exceeded expectation. It's that level that needs to be done to really persuade what we need to do. I mean, I actually would go that same sort of marketing prowess, and it was bringing together a whole load of people that were into it, together to say, right, do the marketing of exactly the three lines that you talked about, Adam, because I love those three lines. And I think that's where we can go. And what I think we often forget, this goes back to a lot, goes back to where I think we do need to hire this volunteer manager, because there are loads of people who will want to do really good pro bono stuff for us, marketing agencies, because there was definitely an organization called Cake that were involved in helping us doing the PR around then at the time. And there's lots of other people like that that will just say, right, we will happily throw stuff behind it because it's so good for, you know, one, they're buying to the cause, and two, it's like, you know, if you're on a PR company and you do your CV, your portfolio, and it includes making AFC Wimbledon the most famous like fan owned club that, you know, on the planet, there are very few agencies that aren't actually going to lap that up and say, right, we'll do that for free, because that's what they want to do. And it just seems to me that that's a wasted opportunity. And this is again goes where get that volunteer manager in, get that kind of person whose sole job is to get the best people to do what they can for a club that is utterly unique. But it, this me, I've gone on my high horse again. Matt needs to kind
but
of
no,
do
no,
something.
No, 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 no. I think it's. you're. I mean, you're right now. I mean, I think the club needs to, Adam, the club needs to do better campaigning about this. Also, what I'm interested in is how many people have to vote for it to go through. Does there need to be a certain percentage of turnout? I know that it doesn't have to be 75% of all members. It needs to be 75% of the people that are voting, but I think that vote needs to be over a certain threshold, I think. So
I can't look that up quickly enough now, but we can definitely look it up and find out the exact details, because it's going to become more and more
important. So it's about how many people need to, it's about how many members need to vote, and it'll be 75% of those that will carry it across. And it needs to be not just a good campaign, it needs to be very, very clear, saying that we are doing this, and if we do it, this will be the benefits of it. And also to say this, and these are the concerns. I think you need to be, I think, you know, on Niall's side of it, you need to say that these are the things. So if you vote for it, this is what will happen. If you do, if you vote against it, this is what will happen. I think those are,
you know,
those
what,
are important things.
What is so embarrassing, and for the first time I'm going to say something slightly bad about the DTV here, is that had they put that previous campaign through ChatGPT and asked it, write me a nice message about how to sell this to people, it would have been a gazillion times better than what they produced. That is the sad thing, because it's, you know, you just ask the right prompts. Write me, you know, I mean, all they could do is say, write me an article, a web piece on how to persuade Niall Cooper that 50 plus one is a good thing. Right.
Yeah,
they did that. I'd be really interested to see what they come out with. Just, you know,
it's all about Niall.
Like,
Mark, I'm the biggest naysayer. So
yeah, but
I don't.
Genuinely not trying to take the mic, but it's not about the biggest naysayer. It's about the people who don't quite know necessarily, or don't really have a strong opinion.
True.
Like my wife, for example, or even like my two adult kids, or at least one adult kid's got a season ticket, aren't necessarily going to games day to day, who need to be convinced, because there'll be a lot of those individual people.
And also, I don't think we want to promote ChatGPT.
All right, we are not sponsored by that AI machine.
Other AI machines are available, but Matt is absolutely right. We don't want to promote any of them.
Sorry, Matt. What's the European equivalent that doesn't go through America?
I'm always just trying to say, I don't know. No, I just write, man. You know, just it all comes from
don't
the soul.
Don't start me off. I'm not going back to my day job in the middle of our podcast. This is supposed to be about AFC Wimbledon and not technology and art.
I've spent ages rabbiting about football governance.
Yeah, you've done well. But do you know what? And next on my agenda, I just can't help but feel, Niall, you might have an opinion on this as well.
Niall doesn't have opinions. Certainly no, not. Whatever made you think that?
I think it's 50 odd years of being his brother. of course, we haven't heard any more about the Northampton game. So, did they meet last week?
You mean the Northampton game that won't get moved because we want it to be, but as Adrian sensibly pointed out last week, we've already signed up to taking the sucking on the Sky TV teat.
Yeah. So, it's outrageous. I mean, I just think it's outrageous of Sky. That's what 100%. I think. I mean, I think it's, I don't, with many other games, it wouldn't have been a problem, but to pick a game where we had specifically said this is for our travelling fans, to move it then, I just think is actually very petty and short sighted of Sky. I mean, it just feels petty. So if we're not going to be allowed to move it, then I'm hoping there are discussions in place about something that we could do on the day, because as Adrian actually said, if we do nothing, nothing happens. So we need to start thinking about if that game is going ahead at that time, when we've got all of these people flying in. I think there has to be something that is done at that day.
Well, there is one thing we should promote, which has come out since we last recorded, which is
it's the Neil Martin thing.
Meet the Manager with Joe
Yeah.
Jackson, with Leon Odson as the guest, and all being hosted by Aaron Paul, which is Friday the 6th of March, which I presume is when they were going to do the World War Womble type stuff anyway, which is going to be an unfair and unfortunate for those people who are not able to fly in at that particular point. But obviously, there's an opportunity for fans who are able, who are obviously London-based, UK-based, to be able to get there and engage there.
Yeah,
And that looks like it's a completely free event as
I
well,
totally
so
think
that
that
sounds like a great idea.
if we're going to be screwed, then I think we should try and make Saturday the 7th of March as appealing to all those Wimbledon fans from across the world that have flown in, particularly. So, including ourselves in this podcast, and just taking in the ideas of going, well, what else could we do? And come out with something that's really going to make it special for them who've put that massive effort in. And equally, I'm very pro the classic two fingers up to Sky wherever possible for no messing us around, which is just, I still find it intolerable for what's happened. I think it's really wrong. And I totally stand shoulder to shoulder with all those Wimbledon fans who have basically been seen their plans ruined. It doesn't make sense. For those of you who don't know what I really think about it, just listen to any of the last couple of podcasts and play that and go like search fast one online on what he thinks about this
rinse and
type
repeat.
of thing.
It's
You
not
can
so.
ask Chat GPT what Niall thinks about the game.
Yeah.
So
I might do that, find out what it says. Or
I
as
think,
you say, there are other AI providers available.
I mean, I'm hoping that we need to think about, you're right, Niall. And actual fact, that is a beautiful thing, is if people are what people are thinking of doing on that Saturday the 7th, if there's going to be people going to be getting together, is there going to be a exclusive tour of the ground that could be available, maybe some other sort of events or happening on that day, would be quite nice if there was something that we could do. So that's interesting. And then possibly any sort of protest we could do on the match itself. I'm not sure what that would be, but I'm sure there are other bright minds out there having to think about that.
I'll tell
It's
you what we should
frustrating.
do. We should all go to Millbank, right? For Millbank, which is the headquarters of Sky in the centre of town. There's a lovely cafe down there. Perhaps we could all have a Wimbledon kind of meet up in that cafe at the bottom of Millbank. Just, I don't know, say something like, I don't know, 60 to 70, maybe 100 Wimbledon fans having their lunch there, just kind of making it a nice little place just to say, right,
I think, and I
that'd be
would
a
suggest,
lovely place to have
yeah,
lunch.
I would advise people to bring their own lunch, so you're not buying anything from the cafe either.
Well, the cafe's not actually run by Sky, but like, it's quite a nice little cafe. But we could all meet there. It's quite nice. All go there, just kind of gather for Millbank. Be quite a nice place to go and have a lunch and meet a load of Wimbledon fans. Really close to Parliament. So if any kind of Lords or MPs were not in around, they could always come down. And actually, conveniently, that's the same building where the BBC headquarters, the ITV Sky headquarters, and Sky's headquarters, all their news channels are also in that same building, just on that same thing. So that'd be a wonderful place. If people were thinking about somewhere to go, it might be quite interesting.
I don't think it's open on the Sunday.
Seven, it's the same on the Saturday, Matt. The Saturday it will be open.
Anyhow, all right, chaps. Well, listen, I think we've
Matt's laughing because, of
yeah.
course, instant gratification is given its most classic example here, because I've been able within about 3 seconds to get ChatGPT's version on Niall Cooper's opinions about pride ownership,
Did he say?
which nobody else needs to know because they've already heard them before. Can I just throw a few more stats out there?
Please,
Mainly
please.
about mainly about the way we play away from home. But the other thing is, I think we need to appeal for Owen Goodman to be transferred to another club playing in League Two or League One, excuse me, because last season in 49 games, Owen Goodman conceded 35 goals playing for us, which was 0.76 games goals per game. However, he's played against us 4 times. Two for Colchester, one for Huddersfield, and one for Barnsley, and conceded 13 goals in those 4 games, just 3.25 goals per game, including obviously three for Barnsley on Saturday. So yeah, we're setting some great records, but only when it comes to playing away from home. So Marcus Brown has now scored more away goals than anyone else in League One, which is quite ridiculous. We are sixth in the form table over five games. But of course, Cardiff are ahead of us. That doesn't.
Oh, fuck. So, yeah, again, Cardiff.
Whatever type of table you find, unfortunately, Cardiff are on top of it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Who does Mark like most?
Wimbledon, clearly. I'm going all the way down to Cardiff, A, to see family, but also to go to the new stadium and add another new stadium onto my list of grounds. But yes, I suspect we will not be necessarily holding out for much hope at Cardiff. Is that fair to say, Chad?
Well, I think we talked about it last week, didn't we? We were so like, it's almost like it's a bit like a free hit. But I think the fact that the pressure's slightly off, you know, we can play without pressure, without nerves, go and play our game and see what happens, you know? As long as we're not stupid and we stick to a shape and we're disciplined, then who knows? You know, it's like that's the way it is. Everyone's going to have to be on top. We have to be on our best to get something from the game. We know that, but I think if people play without fear, you know, who knows?
Maybe if two of their players got sent off in the first minute. Perhaps their centre forward and their goalkeeper and their reserve goalkeeper.
I'm not sure we can even get anywhere there because they had a centre back sent off after about 25 minutes a couple of games ago against Rotherham, I think. Yeah, at Rotherham, so they played with 10 men for over an hour and won 4-0, which is just ridiculous and rude, frankly.
Well, maybe it's three players.
Just incredible how much you know about Cardiff.
I just follow League One stuff, all right? And I follow the PPG profit thing, which is showing right now that it thinks we'll finish 16th, marooned in 16th place with 57 points, three behind Barnsley, but seven ahead of Leighton Orient. I mean, I'm absolutely perfectly happy with that.
I'm very happy about me and marooned. They
think Vale, Wigan, Rotherham, and Burton will
drop.
Be the ones to drop. But I'm fascinated, not. But almost in a kind of macabre way, I'm fascinated to see what happens with Exeter. Yeah. Because obviously Caldwell pulled it all together there very, very well. But now he's left and his first team coach has left and gone back with him to Wigan as well. And they've obviously got family connections there. And Caldwell was based in the northwest of England. So I completely understand from a personal point of view why he's done it. But obviously for Exeter, it's going to be a bit of a hammer blow, I would suspect.
Yeah, it's going to be difficult. But where are Exeter in the table?
At the moment, they're mid-table and they're doing fine.
Yeah,
but,
you know.
But
knows?
Actually, it's everything is still in our hands. I'm looking at our fixtures for March at the moment. We play at home back to back against Northampton and Blackpool, who are right in the mix with us. Away at Stevenage, we're not doing a lot. Home again, then to Leighton Orient, and then straight after that. To Peterborough. So we've got four home games out of five before we play right at the end of the month away at Stockport. And again, Stockport, perhaps a little bit like Cardiff tomorrow, could be a bit of a free hit. But actually there, with Northampton, Blackpool, Stevenage, Orient, Peterborough, you know, if you've got three wins out of that, then that's going to go a long way to actually making a significant difference to the
I'm really interested in this. Is Mark, that looks very nice. Strangely, you've missed the remainder of the February fixtures, which is convenient. So I know that.
But you know what? I mean, are we going to go toe-to-toe with Bradford on Saturday? Like we went toe-to-toe with them away from home? I don't know. They've lost five out of the last six away from home, but they're a very good team. And we know that obviously Nurfield will naturally, as players do, perform particularly well against his other club. I don't think with the greatest respect would I want Nkeng playing against Nurfield because... Nefil won't worry about defending because he knows he's quick enough to defend anyway, and he'll just worry about attacking. So I'd probably want Steve back there as left wing back, or possibly even switch Tilly and give Simway an opportunity. But that's for another day.
That is well. Thank you very much. That's it, chaps. This is how we like to do our podcast: start with the football, end with the football, chuck in some stuff in the middle there. So you know, we're just. I don't think angry, you know, angry old men. We're kind of more considered, I like to think. But anyhow, thank you all very much. Thank you, my friend Al Cooper. Thank you, Dr. Adam Proctor. Thank you, Tall Mark Lewis.
That's quite all right.
I am Matt Cooper. We are the same old Wobbles. We're back.
I've been standing here since many years ago. You've been under my skin for as long as I have known. We traveled away and we stand in the rain and the cold. Take the rough with the smooth if we win.